I really appreciated the thoughts of our brother Ben, and I think he missed an important thing. Have you come to see John the Baptist? Have you come to see Lauren this evening? I hope that we have gathered together, as our brother shared, in a desire to gather around his word, Christ's word, and learn together. I sense the real temptation many times to take the honor, but God has been faithful in humbling me. But I have I feel liberty and freedom to speak this evening, and I thank him for that. I guess I should introduce myself to you, those of you who don't know me. Maybe first of all, I'll share a few of my memories of years ago when we would come here to Darbin when we lived in Pensacola. I remember coming and staying at Brother Lawrence Streit's place, staying with the Bechtels and several other of the families who were originally here, or some are still. I see a lot of new faces, and I have a lot of beautiful memories of those days. But the time came when I was 15 years old when we moved to Honduras, and now I live, those of you who know where the mission in Siguatepeque is, we live about 2.5 hours away in the central mountains of Honduras. And I am a pastor there in the church in Naranjo, is the name of the congregation. And I feel like God has blessed us. I feel at liberty. Thankfully, I've had about 24 hours to get used to speaking English 24/7. It's been several weeks now that I've gotten out my English Bible instead of Spanish, and the King James Version is, again, it's a little bit hard for me but I feel like I've gotten back into it. So I feel really blessed to be here. And I guess I didn't finish introducing myself. We have five children. My wife, Yesenia, is from Costa Rica, and we have five children. And I'm very thankful that they are also praying for us this evening. So our theme this evening, our title, Honor All Men. When we come to this subject, the biggest word, the word that sticks out and to me is the word honor. Honor all men. Honor, respect. And whenever I was thinking about this and thinking about what to share, I recalled an incident several years ago when we were a little over 4 years ago, we were traveling back to from a trip here in the States, and we were on the airplane. I was sitting beside a young man who we began to talk, and he shared with me that he was a youth pastor in a certain denomination, and he was sharing with me some of the struggle he was going through in some of the developments in their congregation. At that time, it was about in that time frame where the Boy Scouts had started to take with the LGBT movement, and his pastor had stood up and said, "This is not right, and we're going to disassociate ourselves with the Boy Scouts." And this young man, this youth pastor, he was struggling to accept his pastor's decision. He didn't feel like that was a spirit of love. He didn't feel like that was honoring the feelings of others, the other people's viewpoint. And so, really, just thinking about that, and sometimes we face situations in our life, and perhaps we struggle with knowing how far does honor go. Maybe in our minds, it might be clear as far as what that young man should have been thinking. But there are many situations in life where honor, maybe we're asked to, it seems like we should honor someone who does not deserve honor. We want to look at some of those situations. But what should honor look like? What really should honor look like? And one theme I would like to really drill in is the fact that all of our doctrine and practice must line up with the teachings and the life of Jesus. That is the base for our doctrine and practice. And I know that if we get into theological discussions, we can spend hours talking about so many things. And maybe some that are important, some that aren't so important. But the fact is that true doctrine comes back to the life and the words of Jesus. It coincides. It builds on that. And I like what it says in Corinthians, where it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. The apostles, the prophets have laid block. That corner block, the cornerstone, so important. It is right there in place. Jesus, the prophets, the apostles, all build off of Jesus. And we must build off of Jesus. Or else, we're totally off. Jesus is the base of our doctrine and practice. I want us to remember that. Just plant that in our minds. So whenever we think of honor, honor all men. How is honor illustrated in the life of Jesus? How did Jesus live out honor? What did honor look like in Jesus' life? I think there's many beautiful pictures we can draw off of. And I want to look at a few of those things this evening. And maybe we'll start in Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 48 to 52. Jesus was 12 years old, first time going to the temple, and first time to get lost in a big city. They were on their way home. Joseph and Mary were on their way home when they realized Jesus was not in the company of their kinsfolk. They turned back and they spent 3 days searching for him. Finally, they found him. I think I'll start in verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Now the thing that is incredible to me about this passage is to think of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He had every reason, he had all the authority, we could say, over his parents. Who's to say that he didn't? Yes, he was just 12 years old. But it's amazing to see. Okay, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 46. Where was he? Sitting with the doctors. I think we understand that to mean the teachers, the teachers of the law. They were sitting there and they were asking him questions. He was asking them questions. He was hearing them. He was asking questions. And they were marveling at what this little boy was coming up with. But I see here a picture of honor. I know when I was growing up, I asked a lot of questions. Sometimes they weren't. I challenged my father's beliefs. I challenged my father's beliefs and what he thought was right. And I challenged them, not only once, but I would ask him questions. The thing, this goes both ways. We want to especially focus on Jesus and his response, asking those questions and asking them in a way where he was willing to listen and accept from his elders. But that's a two-way road too, and that's one thing we have to remember, maybe just a sideline, but the willingness of our elders to share with us and listen to our questions. But how beautiful that picture is whenever there can be that honor, both in the younger, when the young man wants to know and wants to discuss, and the elder is willing to spend time and honor those desires and talk about these things, spend time talking. I still remember years ago, whenever I was in Bible school, it wasn't here. In Bible school in Costa Rica, I remember sitting there in the student body, and one of the brothers, the bishops in the congregation there, he was teaching the class. And before he started, he said, I want you to analyze what I'm saying. I want you to compare it with God's word. I don't want you to take what I'm saying just because I said it, that's the way it is. And I sat there and I said, wow. But can we actually have the humility to say those things and say, I'm going to present what I believe and what the God's word said. I want to present the way I believe we need to live it out. But also the willingness to listen and work through those things together. I see a beautiful picture, Jesus sitting there, hearing them. And asking questions. I believe that needs to happen every generation. It needs to happen. We need to be passing on the faith. But there needs to be a willingness to listen. And honor. Respect. To our elders. As Jesus did. Down in the next verses, I think it's a beautiful picture whenever Mary came and said, what hast thou done? What are you doing? And Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know I was doing what my Father wants me to do? My Father's business? They didn't understand what he was saying. And Jesus, I guess, did not go on to explain in detail. But he submitted to their desires. He honored their wishes, and he followed them to Nazareth. How important. Honor is respectful obedience to God-given authority. It is asking questions. It is wanting to hear the heart. It is wanting to understand. But it is willingness to submit whenever we're placed under authority. It's a willingness to accept. You know, and that sometimes that's a pretty big load to swallow. But that's what Jesus did. And you know what the beautiful result of that was? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased in wisdom. Now, tell me that it wasn't a result of that. Of course it was. Of course it was. Jesus could not have increased in wisdom if he would have been rebellious. Jesus could not have increased in favor with God and man if he would have risen up in rebellion against his elders and said, "I am God's son. I know this is a..." He didn't do that. He didn't do that. How important it is for us, and that's why it's repeated in Scripture several times, in Hebrews, in 1 Peter, where it talks about the younger submitting to the elder especially. And like I said, that was a pill for me to swallow. But I understand more than ever as I get older what a blessing it is to submit and to work together, to submit to authority and allow that to make a person better. It really is a blessing. It is a blessing. Honor, respectful obedience to God-given authority. I really like it how Jesus asked them a question. You know, questions are not threats. It's all right if we ask questions, but we ask them with a spirit of love and wanting. And I think we need to remember that as we get older. Questions are not threats. They should not be threats. I guess they can be, but they should not be viewed as threats. And I believe that in our church life, I think questions should be welcome. And discussions should be welcome, where we can work through things together. What does honor look like? You know, there's a huge gap between that time when Jesus was 12 years old till he was 30 and he started his ministry. I don't know. We don't know much about those years. But the next time we see Jesus, he's coming in his ministry, preaching. Honor. What does honor look like? I see time and time again, and I know that there's many, many pictures we could pick out of the life of Jesus, but I see Jesus taking, and I like that word in the title where it says, all men. We see Jesus taking time for blind Bartimaeus. We see Jesus taking time and placing his hand on an unclean, God forbid, a leper. We see Jesus taking time for the wicked, that wicked publican, Zacchaeus. We see Jesus taking into account all men. And how easy it is, even the worthless, the nobodies, those who didn't deserve respect, those who didn't deserve a second chance, perhaps. The children. What were those children going to be able to do to repay the time that Jesus spent with them? So many sick people. And then we have Jesus before Pilate and humbly submitting to authority there before him. All men. Jesus did not make any distinction. I like the way it says it in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And this respect of persons, I would like to say, that this is something I don't have, but I struggle with it so much. We have a tangerine tree out in front of the our house, and it's not just any old tangerine. It's one of the big ones. It's a cross between a grapefruit and a tangerine. They're really good. The tree just got loaded this year, and lots of beautiful fruit. And once they're really ripe, they're really, really good. And it's not hard for me. It's not hard for me to love my brother when they come visit me. My father, good prestigious neighbors of the community. It's not hard for me to take pull some. Yeah, here, have a bag full of tangerines. Take them. It's not hard for me to do that. But whenever it's the little beggars that come, it grates on me. You can have two, you know, three. Honor all men. Do we really know what it is to honor all men with the same honor? Even though they don't respect, even though they don't. And I'm not going to say that honoring means you give everything every time. But really, are we totally free of partiality? I think I need to grow in that. I'm not. I struggle. I mean, I enjoy sitting down and talking with my brother, but there's certain people who come and sit on my porch and just spend a lot of time. And I wish. But I have to remember, Christ took time for everyone. Christ honored even what seemed to be a worthless soul. We're not worthless before God. We're all worth something. And so we take time for the needs in someone's life, even though it seems like it's an impossible situation, even though it seems like it's dirty, it's worthless, there's nothing to gain out of it. Oh, there is something to gain. There's a soul there. Honor all men. Honor all men. Jesus took time for everyone. There was no respect of persons in Jesus' attitude. There should be no respect of persons in ours. We need to crucify those carnal thoughts and imaginations. What other pictures do we see in Jesus' life that tell us what honor was all about? And I would like you to turn to Luke chapter 11. And I would like to read several verses here. What is honor? Now, it's going to seem like I'm just going to go back and totally go against what I've just said about respecting and honoring. But I believe that we see in Jesus also a need is something we need to be really careful about. Jesus confronted error in a spirit of love. Why? Because I believe there was a true, maybe it was more love than honor. I don't know. But there was a desire for the best of the other party. Now, I believe we need to be very careful, because confronting error in the spirit of love is honor. But we can do it out of pride, because pride delights in showing the other person that you're wrong and I'm right. Okay? You're wrong and I'm right because of this and this and this and this and this. I'm right. That's pride. Pride delights in that. We need to crucify all the pride in our lives. We do not, those attitudes may not be in our lives. We may not allow that. However, Error needs to be confronted. And Jesus, here in Luke chapter 11, verse 39, I am amazed again and again at how Jesus, how straightforward he was. And I wonder sometimes, have we become too courteous? I don't know. I would like to start reading in verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Those ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And he keeps on and on and on. Their hypocrisy, pride. And a lawyer comes along and says, Master, you're including us. And of course Jesus was including them too. And he we can say he raked them over the coals also. And down in, it with very, very strong language. And I believe that Jesus, okay, there was an element of Jesus' authority. Jesus knowing the hearts of men, okay? We don't know the hearts of men. But in situations where, I believe that there are situations where because of our desire to maintain a business client or maintain a friend, a friendly relationship, maintain, we sort of, we're going to be careful how, and I know it takes a lot of, I don't know that I have all the answers for you this evening, but I believe that there is a danger of becoming to the point of being so courteous as that we are not willing to confront error in the spirit of love. Jesus hammered down on those things so hard that they finally had to kill him to get rid of him. Are we willing to do that? Like I said, we need to be careful that it's not in the spirit of pride that we're doing it. You know? What other pictures do we see in the life of Jesus? I would like to see another snapshot from Luke chapter 23. What is honor? What does honor look like? Luke chapter 23, verse 28, we have Jesus going out. He's carrying his cross. Maybe by then he had fallen and they had placed the cross on another person. I don't know. But we have this procession. Jesus and those robbers going ahead with their crosses and the women and the people going behind weeping and wailing, and makes me think of the funerals I have been at. I can easily imagine what that would have sounded, what that would have looked like. Jesus, verse 28, Luke 23, verse 28, but Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Jesus I believe that there's an element of honor that places other people's pain, sorrow, and hardship above our own. Places it above our own. In other words, it's like this. It's like this. When we honor other people, maybe it's not so much honor but love. Maybe I'm getting a little bit confused here, but it's the feeling of placing the other person on a higher pedestal. His hurts are more important than mine. Okay? Now we say, these women, what were they weeping about? Well, it wasn't the weeping that was the hard thing. We read history, and I love reading history. I read like Josephus. And the horrors of what happened in Jerusalem, when the temple was destroyed, when the city was destroyed, the horrors. Oh, it was horrible. It was terrible. I think that's what Jesus was referring to. The days are coming. It would have been better to not have children. It would have been better to be dead. And really, that's the way it was. When that Roman general, I think it was Titus, had that city surrounded, and the months, the years go by, and these people are eating each other. We just can't comprehend the suffering, all the turmoil in that city. And I remember some things, things that are best left unsaid. The horror. Jesus knew about those things. Jesus saw those things. And even though he was bleeding, he had just gone through a ferocious scourging. He had just gone through a sleepless night. All the agonies, all the emotional turmoil, and all that pain, and all that. But he was still thinking about their future suffering, and he was putting it on a higher level than his own. Isn't that something? Can we do that? Can we learn to do that? Jesus wants us to be like him. Can we learn to feel other people's suffering more than our own? Perhaps there are more things that can be said. Those are some of the pictures that I have gotten from Jesus' life. Honor all men. Maybe we have a better picture of what honor should look like. Honor comes out of true love. It's a true love. It's a genuine love that is interested in the well-being, the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being of other people. Honor all men. It's not just a veneer. It's not just fake smiles. It's not just little emojis that you send on WhatsApp. It's a genuine love. It's a genuine desire to listen and to feel and to put more importance in the other person. Honor all men. Like I said, it's very, very intertwined with the love of God. Romans 12, verse 10. It's a biblical mandate. It's not an option for us as the children of God. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. May we have God's love in our hearts, out of which flows true honor and respect for all men. May God bless you.